November 29th, 2015 was the first Sunday of the recent season of Advent. And as I sat up here at the beginning of that worship service and watched as Susan and Jim Pierce brought flame to the first Advent candle, I remember thinking to myself, it's forever until Christmas Eve. We have today, of course, and then three more Sundays, nearly 4 weeks before we reach the summit of this Advent mountain. And then, as seems to happen every year, the four Sundays of Advent, for me, just flew by. Christmas Eve, with its three services, flew by. The week between Christmas and New Year's really flew by, and now here we are on this ninth day of Christmas. And like many churches, on this Sunday we choose to celebrate January 6th, 12th day of Christmas called Epiphany. And now it seems like that first Sunday of Advent was just a few days ago. During this season, our worship focused on the theme of sacred. We explored the special sacred time, sacred people, sacred space, a sacred knowing, and a sacred being that draws us towards God's will for the world. We contemplated how God has fashioned our lives to serve that plan. Today's concluding installment is where the rubber meets the road, as they used to say. Sacred doing. How is what we do supposed to be sacred? Well, consider two biblical examples of people first receiving the news about God's love embodied in Jesus and then internalizing that message and finally acting upon it. Consider the shepherds and the wise men. The shepherds received a bizarre message in a most unusual way. A messenger from the realm of the divine pierced through the veil of human existence and announced a savior in the form of a helpless infant. Now, we shouldn't be surprised if the shepherd's response to that angelic visitation was something like, man, let's sleep this one off. Or, Tariq, that stew you made tonight, what spices exactly did you put into that? This good news of a great joy, the shepherds could have blown it off. They could have rolled over, pulled their tunics tighter around their necks, and drifted off to sleep. That's not what they did. Instead, they said, you know what? Let's go. Come on now. Let's go up to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And as for the Magi, the wise men, Matthew's gospel simply reports that they arrived in Jerusalem. Matthew didn't describe the moment of their astronomical discovery. Matthew didn't detail the deliberations which led to their decision to mount up and travel across the vast, barren wilderness to reach Jerusalem, the chief city of the Judean region. No, Matthew's gospel simply reports that they arrived in Jerusalem. But this much is clear from both the response of the shepherds and that of the Magi. God's message of hope, God's promise of a new chance inspired them. And as a result, they chose to respond through action. Remember what the shepherds did when they found Mary and Joseph and the baby laid in the manger? Luke wrote, "The shepherds told them what the angels had said about the child." Luke added, "All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said." All who heard it. Suggests that others had gathered there by this time too. The innkeeper, perhaps. A midwife, quite possibly. Maybe some overserved revelers who had wandered out of the tavern and down the alley. But this unusual sight of a new family huddled in a cattle shed was given new meaning because of what the shepherds did. They gave their testimony, the story from their personal experience. The shepherds shared the gospel news with others when the occasion presented itself. Their witness was a sacred action. By their action, they drew others to look for God's hand at work in their own lives. They did that to people down to this very day. What about the wise men? What did they do? How did they respond through action? Well, although their quest was temporarily detoured by the conniving King Herod, eventually the wise men were led to the place where the child was. Matthew wrote, "They went into the house," and note, by the time the kings arrive, the family is in a house, not a cattle shed. "They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him." Now here's the key part. They brought out their gifts and presented them to him. Surely you've seen those cartoons joking that if Mary and Jesus were visited by three wise women, the gifts would have been much more practical things like diapers and casseroles and a gift certificate for a day at the spa. Gold and frankincense and myrrh, well, they were worth a lot of money, but to the wise men, the gifts were of limited value on their long journey. I mean, they couldn't eat or drink them, couldn't burn them for a campfire, they couldn't wrap themselves in them against the desert's cold night winds. But the wise men also didn't hoard them. As Matthew made clear, they brought out their gifts and presented them to the child. The wise men's generosity was a sacred action. By the gospel's account of their act of giving, they inspired others, again, including us, to consider how God is making similar generosity possible in our own lives. So over these past 5 weeks, we've looked through a kaleidoscope of the sacred, and we've experienced time and people, places, knowledge, others, ourselves, as God's holy love present and incarnate in the world. God made love incarnate because God didn't want love to be merely a concept, an idea. God had love take on flesh because God intends love to be alive and active in the world through the flesh and blood of we who appreciate that we are God's children. Our beliefs, our attitudes, the stands we take, the actions we take can promote God's will for all creation, such as by committing to responsible enjoyment and use and protection of the natural environment, or standing up for people whose place in the power pyramid prevents them from being noticed and heard and appreciated and respected. Or being a voice and a presence for peace in situations that are steeped in anxiety or distrust or divisiveness or even hatred. We can provide help and hope to people whose place and plight in the world economy causes them to struggle mightily just to attain self-sufficiency. We can be the comforting embrace for people who are ailing, people who are grieving, hurting, feeling lost or alone. And as we heard from Revelation chapter 21, announcing that God in Jesus has declared that the old things have disappeared and now I make all things new, that can be our motto, our mantra, our watchword. Behold, God makes all things new through Jesus Christ. God has made us to be more than just human beings. We are made to be human doers. The Old Testament prophet Micah announced our duty to be sacred doers when he answered the question, "What does the Lord require of you?" Micah's response, you know, to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. The things we do in Jesus' name are sacred because our actions embody God's love for all creation.